Hello, everyone. This is the CircuitPython Weekly Meeting for June 8th, 2026. It's the time of the week where we get together to talk about all things CircuitPython. I'm Scott, and I'm sponsored by Adafruit to work on CircuitPython. CircuitPython is a version of Python designed to run on tiny computers called microcontrollers. CircuitPython development is primarily sponsored by Adafruit, so if you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython, consider purchasing hardware from adafruit.com. This meeting is hosted on the Adafruit Discord server. You can join anytime by going to adafru.it/discord. We hold the meeting in the CircuitPython Dev text channel and the CircuitPython voice channel. This meeting typically happens Mondays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, except when it coincides with the U.S. holiday, since all of the hosts are based in the U.S. currently. In the notes doc, there's a link to the calendar you can view online or add to your favorite calendar app. We also send notifications about upcoming meetings via Discord. If you would like to receive these notifications, ask us to add you to the @CircuitPythonistas Discord role. There's a shared notes document that accompanies the meeting and recording. You can contribute to this document beforehand. The final notes document includes timestamps to go along with the video, so you can use the doc to skip around and view the parts of the video that interest you most. The meeting tends to run 30 to 60 minutes. After each meeting, we post a link to the next meeting's notes document to the CircuitPython Dev channel on the Adafruit Discord. Check the pinned messages to find the latest notes doc so you can add your notes for the following meeting. If you wish to participate but cannot attend, you can leave hug reports and status updates in the document for us to read during the meeting. This meeting is held in five parts. First is community news. This is where we look at all things Python and CircuitPython on hardware in the community. It's a chosen set of items from our Python on Microcontrollers newsletter. Second is the state of CircuitPython libraries in Blinka. This is a quantitative overview of the entire project. It's a chance to look at the project by the numbers separate from our status updates. Third is Hug Reports. Hug Reports is an opportunity to highlight the good things folks are doing, taking the time to recognize the awesome folks in our community. Fourth is Status Updates. Status Updates is an opportunity to report on what we've been up to. Take a couple of minutes and talk about what you've been doing in the last week since the last meeting and what you'll be up to over the next week. Fifth and final is In the Weeds. It's an opportunity for more long-form discussions. These discussions can come out of status updates or be something you've identified ahead of time as too long for status updates. That's how the meeting will go. I will take a timestamp and move on to community news. So I will tell you where these come from at the end, but for now, here's some tidbits about things happening in the world of Python and hardware. So, Python projects for your Raspberry Pi, the book you've been waiting for to level up your skills. Made for those of you who ask what's next after learning the basics, this book is full of practical hands-on Python and MicroPython projects to teach you how to use the more advanced capabilities of Raspberry Pi computers and microcontrollers. Use a variety of sensors, displays, and actuators, and take a deep dive into PIO, the programmable input-output of the RP2s along the way. Next up is the Espressif Core Board 1 is the first ESP32-S31 reference board. While a couple of ESP32-S31 boards have had brief glimpses to date, the Espressif official reference device has appeared, the Core Board 1. It has GPIO lines brought out via a double row header with built-in DACs, two 10-bit and two 12-bit. Two Type-A USB connectors provide a USB serial port and a serial JTAG port. There is also a full-size USB 2 Type-A port and an RJ45 wired gigabit Ethernet port. I actually tried to snag one of these, but I don't think I managed to do it. They're just engineering samples at this point. Okay. Next up, Bugbuster gives AI the tools to debug physical hardware. A new open source project called Bugbuster is trying to provide ways for AI models to measure, control, and debug real hardware. The hardware platform developed by Lorenzo Caravania is able to interact with popular AI assistants such as Claude through Model Context Protocol Server. This allows AI to measure voltages, drive outputs, capture waveforms, and analyze digital signals as needed to debug hardware issues autonomously via an ESP32 and an RP2040 and software including Python and MicroPython. And I will do an editor's note that this is very similar to the hardware-in-the-loop stuff that I've been doing. So it's cool to see other folks working on the same problem or the same idea. Next up, we have Meat Dryer. It's a product built with CircuitPython. Daniel Olsen develops Meat Dryer with CircuitPython and a bunch of Adafruit boards in a garage in Sweden for personal use without any intent to launch a product. Now, it's a commercial product, a smart home, are a smart hook to cure meat at home, like prosciutto, bresaola, cured biltong, and even full parma hams. It tells you when your meat is ready by using target weight, example 60%, and climate monitoring. You can use it with or without Wi-Fi. And there's a link to Meat Dryer. Next up, run Python code in a MicroPython / WASM sandbox. Dataset-agent-MicroPython runs Python code in a MicroPython WASM sandbox in a browser. The plugin adds an execute MicroPython tool to dataset agent. The tool runs Python code using a sandbox MicroPython interpreter compiled to WASM. It may be used for pure computation, parsing, data transformation, math, and checking algorithms. Output is captured from standard out and standard error, so code should use print to return values. All right, and then lastly from the newsletter, we've got AI and Python Weekly Roundup. Here's a condensed wrap-up of interesting AI LLM articles from this week. There's somebody that says, I asked Gemini, Claude, and ChatGPT to debug the same Python error, and only two explained what actually broke. So that's kind of a test. Cognition's Scott Wu says AI coding agents shouldn't replace humans from TechCrunch. Coders are refusing to work without AI, and that could come back to bite them from TechCrunch. And then cleaning massive, disorganized spreadsheets or parsing through thousands of lines of raw server logs is annoying. You can do it yourself, make a program to do it, or just give it to Claude and ask it to fix your problems. Claude has a built-in execution canvas that handles smaller tasks. It's a sandbox processing environment that lives right inside your chat window, so you can drop in files and use plain language to make the fixes you need from HowToGeek. And then the quote from there is, you don't have to have a Python environment to configure. No matplotlib syntax to remember and no pandas documentation to dig through. It is great for people who have a simple project to get through and just want to see a final result, or those who want to see a prototype of their idea before they build it. Okay. Those articles, they came from the Python and Microcontrollers Weekly newsletter. It's a CircuitPython community-run newsletter emailed every Monday. The complete archives are available at the URL adafruitdaily.com/category/CircuitPython. It highlights the latest Python on hardware-related news from around the web, including CircuitPython, Python, and MicroPython developments. To contribute your own news or project, just email cpnews@adafruit.com. We appreciate your contributions. So that's our first section. Next up, we have the state of CircuitPython libraries and Blinka. And this is kind of health monitoring for the big portions or sub-projects of the universe of CircuitPython. So I'll do overall, and then we'll go to each individual kind of sub-project. First, overall, we had 16 pull requests merged from 13 different authors. Some new names to me, or infrequent names, are Neutrino1, CoolDom, CamoCat, Gotham8066, Copilot, which I assume is a bot, and Kai Morich. Those are new folks. Obviously, Copilot's probably a bot. We had six reviewers, myself, Brent, Tyeth, Dan, Foamy Guy, and Lady Ada, so thanks to them. Overall, issues-wise, we had 17 closed issues by four people and one open by one person, so we're net down. Okay, next up, I will go through the numbers for the core. In the core, we had eight pull requests merged from six different authors. Neutrino1 was there. Weblate is a bot, so we won't give them credit. Although, actually, Weblate is used for people using the Weblate UI. And then two reviewers, Dan and myself. We have 16 open pull requests, so we're comfortably under our goal of a single page of 25. Issues-wise, we had 14 closed issues by two people and one open by one person. We are currently at 782 open issues, so we are comfortably under 800, which is good because we were, I think, we peaked about 850 or 860. And then we use milestones to track prioritization for Adafruit-funded folks. We have eight active milestones, though kind of like top priority ones are 10.2.x. These are fixes for the current stable release. There's currently no open issues, so that means stable's in a good state. 10.3 is the next minor stable release, and it's got 49 open issues. I'm sure not all of those will be solved, but they may be moved around. We have 14 issues for 11.0, which will be our next major version. We have no timeline for that. I would not be surprised if that came later this year or even early next year. Kind of in the spring, tends to be when we do it. And I can't actually remember when 10 was released. Anyway, that's kind of where we're at on prioritization. And then we have zero issues, not assigned a milestone, so we are keeping up with triage. And with that, let's kick it over to Fomiguy for info on the state of the libraries.
Right, thanks, Scott. This section covers all of the CircuitPython libraries. These are the Python level libraries that allow you to do various things on your CircuitPython device, like interface with specific bits of hardware or provide helper classes and things so that you can work on your project at a higher level. Those are hosted on GitHub and split up into library bundles. We have the Adafruit library bundle right now. That one has 393 libraries in it, and we have the community library bundle with libraries contributed by individuals within the community. That one has 176 libraries for a total right now of 569 libraries that support CircuitPython. Over the past week, we had 8 pull requests merged by 7 different authors, echoing some of the names that Scott mentioned before, thanks to CoolDom, Gotham8066, CamelCat, and Kai Morich, as well as the other names here who appear more frequently in these lists. Those are newer or less frequent contributors, or people whose names are just less familiar to my eye, at the very least. We had 6 reviewers, thanks to Brent, Tyth, Dan, Scott, Lady Ada, and myself. Of the pull requests that got merged, the oldest one was 103 days. The handful of the newest ones were down at 1 day. That leaves us right now with 43 pull requests open. The oldest one of those is a draft that's up to 1,390 days, and the newest one is 2 days old right now. Issues-wise, we had 3 issues closed by 3 people. No new issues opened up, and that leaves us with 780 open issues across the Adafruit bundle. And there are 2 of those right now that are labeled as good first issues. You can find those 2 and the rest listed over at circuitpython.org/contributing, which is the website where you should head if you are interested in getting involved in CircuitPython on the Python side of development. When you first load that page, again, circuitpython.org/contributing, you'll find a list of open pull requests. That tends to be the place where we point folks who want to get involved but don't have a specific thing they want to work on. These are proposed changes that people have submitted, and they're waiting for someone to review it. So you can scroll through that list, find something that is interesting to you or that you've got the hardware for, click through to GitHub, take a look at the proposed change. You can review the code for spelling, syntax, logic, anything like that. If you do have the hardware, you can go ahead and try it out on a device, and then leave a comment on GitHub letting us know what you found when you looked over the code. If you're able to try it out on hardware, let us know how that went as well. Once you get comfortable with that process, if you would like to get leveled up to join our review team on GitHub, we can work with you to add you to that so you can get notifications and other helpful things for finding stuff to review. If you would like to start submitting some of your own proposed changes as well, you can do that from the same page on the contributing page. If you click over to the Issues tab, you will see a similar looking list of links, but these ones go to GitHub Issues instead of pull requests, so there is no proposed change yet. They're waiting for a person to come along who would like to work on that, and that could be you if you're interested. We do have a learn guide for contributing to CircuitPython using Git and GitHub. We also have folks who are around on the Discord who are more than happy to help you get spun up. So if you are trying to contribute, whether you're trying to review or submit your own PRs, if you're having trouble with version control or actions or anything else, just come say hi on Discord. Let us know what you're up to, what kind of trouble you're having, and we would be happy to help you out. Updated libraries in the last 7 days, we have Pi Camera, RGB Display, and then TSC 34725 driver. And that's what we've got for libraries. Thanks.
Thank you, Foamy Guy. And I was just looking at the notes, realizing, oh, I didn't copy everything in. So I snuck it in there. Okay, last up, we have Blinka. This is the CircuitPython layer that provides CircuitPython APIs on non-CircuitPython core devices, such as single-board computers like the Raspberry Pi in CPython or on MicroPython. So this lets you use all the libraries that Tim just talked about, but on non-CircuitPython hardware or software, firmware, whatever. So in Blinka Land, there were 0 pull requests merged from 0 authors. There are 11 open pull requests. Most of those are on Raspberry Pi 5 support, NeoPixel, and RP1 PIO. No closed issues, no opened issues, and there are still 84 open issues. The bulk of those are under plain Blinka, and there's a number of supported boards is 174. So that's seems like pretty quiet in Blinka land this last week. Okay, next up, we have Hug Reports. This is a chance for us to say thank you to folks within our community for the work that they've been doing. I will start and go through the list of folks in the notes doc. Just a heads up that you can also write notes in here even if you're unable to make the meeting, and then the host will read those off for you. So first up is me. If I can type. First, I want to do a hug to Antares, Q's, Zero, EdgePR, Elant, Sev. They are all folks working on getting the DeepSeek V4 Flash model running on Strix Halo, which is an AMD kind of AI chip setup. It's found in the framework desktop, which I now have. And DeepSeek V4 Flash is something that I was using a while back with a cloud provider, so I'm super excited that I can run it locally. And I got it going this morning, and it looks super promising. So thanks to those folks who worked on getting that going. And then also a hug to Mighty Ohm for reviewing my P4 Hardware-in-the-Loop V2 board. Next up is Dan.
Okay, just a group hug for now.
All right, thank you, Dan. All right, next up is Foamy Guy.
All right, I have a hug for Toddbot, who dropped a helpful tip about /dev/serial/byid on Linux, which I wasn't familiar with. Helpful for seeing sort of human-readable names of your devices. So if you're a Linux user with TO or anything like that, check out that. And thanks to RelicXC, as well as you, Scott, for reviewing my PR for audio I2SN. Very much appreciated. I had limited experience, so I really appreciate both of you going through that. And that's what I've got. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. That is it for Hug Reports. Next up, we have status updates. This is done in a similar way, except we want to hear about what you've been working on in the past week and what you're planning on working on in the coming week. I will start. So for me, my time is limited because I am out starting Thursday for 2 weeks. So I've got, I said 3 days in the notes, but I really have 2.5 now. I'm going to focus on, I've got a couple orders to do from JLC PCB. One is the P4 Hardware in the Loop V2, and another is a slightly different size of the Swirly Grid. And I actually have a couple other PCB designs I've been thinking about doing, and because I've been in that brain space, I think I might be able to crank them out. So one is I want to respin the Ploopy trackball. It's an open source trackball, and they have a V2. I had a V1 left-handed, and I fried it like on with a bad USB hub, and so it broke, and they don't make left-handed ones anymore. So I'm respinning their open source files to be left-handed. So that's one thing I'm working on. And then, I'm going to update it at the same time to the RP2350 just because I can. It's an RP2040. The V2 is an RP2040. And I'm like, well, if I'm going to reroute everything, I might as well do an RP2350. So I'm going to do that. And then if I'm doing RP2350, we've always wanted to respin the Game Boy cart that I originally did with the SAMD51 to use an RP2. I like kind of had looked at the RP2040, but it didn't have quite enough pins. But the nice thing is the RP2350 comes in a larger size that has more pins. And so I'm going to just try to go heads down the next couple days and get those routed and schematicked and stuff so that I can get those ordered at the same time as I ordered this other stuff. Because I've got this like 2 week gap where I'm not working, and it's like, send stuff off to JLC and have them send it back while I'm gone. Seems to be a decent use of my time with that. Okay, next up, let's go to Dan.
Okay, so over the past few days, I've been debugging a bunch of Espressif BLE issues. I fixed some things. There's some other things that aren't fixed. It's not clear that BLE workflow really works right now, but I'm not concentrating on that. I'm more trying some other things. And I have a draft PR, which I've been adding fix this too, but maybe eventually I'll turn it into a non-draft soon so it can get merged, maybe before Scott leaves. And another thing that came up was we've had this problem with our continuous integration builds on GitHub Actions, where whenever we make a release, it actually runs two sets of builds for no particularly good reason. And also, if you make a pull request directly from the Adafruit fork, like via GitHub Web, it also builds all the boards twice. And so I just asked Copilot, why is this happening? And it made some suggestions, and I said, no, not quite that. And it made a suggestion, and there's a PRN to fix that so that we don't have these duplicative builds. So that's out
Great.
for review also. And then, for no really strong reason, but I wanted to try it, is that I got a new development machine a while ago, and it only had 16 gigabytes because memory is really expensive. I bought a used 16 gigabyte DIMM on eBay and got it. And I just tried some local LLMs. I don't have a graphics card on this board, but it has on this computer, but it has 20 cores, and I wanted to see how well it worked. There is some support from Intel on with something called OpenVINO, which lets you use the integrated graphics on the these ultra CPUs, or actually in general, lets you use them. So I tried that, and it was actually kind of terrible. And I tried it in Windows. It was somewhat better in Windows, but it still wasn't very good. And the answer is really that the integrated graphics does not have enough compute. Though it's fast for graphics, it doesn't have all that many graphics cores. It only has four. So it's not faster and can be noticeably slower than just using the 20 cores that the CPU itself has. So I tried running a model that would fit in all of RAM. And it maybe is like a third to a half or so, or a quarter to a third of some machine, like, say, the one that Scott got, the Framework desktop, which is not terrible. So it was just kind of an experiment, and I'll see whether it's worth doing anymore or not. But I wanted to see what happened. And the other thing is that I just had ulnar nerve transposition surgery this morning. I got home from the surgery outpatient center. My arm is still completely numb. It feels like somebody else's arm, like if I touch my fingers or something. But I'm somewhat coherent, so that's why I'm on the meeting today. But I'll obviously be typing less over the next few days. I said links, but I mean weeks. And maybe I'll figure out about a local speech model or something like that. So that's it for me right now.
Ah, thanks, Dan. So the there's sorry, Whisper locally is pretty good, and then the Gemma E2B, E4B, and now 12B can all do voice native in as well.
Oh, really? And those will fit nicely on this board
Yeah,
as
the
well.
E2Bs will run like on a phone, so that yeah, they're definitely worth trying on your computer.
All right, I will try that. All right, thank you.
They're pretty low context, so you might want to use them with something else as well, but I don't know. You might give that a try.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Well, it sounds like it went well, so I'm glad it did. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I can't, no pain right now, but that's because I'm all, I
Yeah.
have this nerve block in, so
Right.
we'll see.
All right. Okay, well, next up is Foamy Guy.
Right, thank you. I last week finished up the Blinka in Ubuntu Core OS. I'm running on a Raspberry Pi, a guide for that. So that's submitted and in review now. So that should be coming out in the next week or so for folks who are interested in Raspberry Pi IoT deployment stuff. I worked some more on this web workflow runner script and PyTest integration, and I have a note in the weeds to talk a little bit more about that later. And then the other project that I moved on to after the Ubuntu Core thing is the next one on a Raspberry Pi using a camera, and it's like a feedback looper or and filters as well. So the idea is you have a camera plugged in that you can point at the display. You have the display showing a preview from the camera, and so it does like the sort of mirror table off into Affinity effect, and you can wiggle stuff around and put stuff in front of it and get all sorts of duplicated interesting effects. And then I also have some filters in software that mess with the colors and shift the offsets, the locations of different pixels and different things like that. So that is my next project. So I'm just working on the code and the functionality right now. So we'll start the guide after that stuff is done. But that is what I've been up to.
Awesome. Thank you, Foamy Guy. Okay. Next up, we have In the Weeds. This is a chance for us to do any longer form discussion. And we do have one topic. Generally, folks put them in the notes doc before we get started. So just put your username and kind of like a summary of what you want to talk about. Tim's already done that, so I will kick it over to Tim.
Right. So I have a link here I'll drop in the Discord into this agent skills repo where we started putting a couple of LLM agent skill files. And amongst a few of those skills, I have created these CircuitPython runner scripts. So there's two of them now. Their job is it's a command line tool that can execute a code.py file on a device and then get the results back and give it to whatever called it. So there is the first one was serial, so it would write over the normal workflow with USB and it would connect with serial to read the results back. The new one is web workflow, so it uses the web workflow APIs to upload the file and then connects on the WebSocket to get the results back. My main question or topic for this is about publishing these runner scripts somewhere else, because right now they're just tucked into the agent skill files, which is a folder that kind of lives along with the markdown file. I think they are useful outside of the agent context. And in fact, I've been integrating these with PyTest for use in libraries just to be able to sort of run tests either manually or with an agent, since the agent knows how to do PyTest. And I'm curious about thoughts on sort of one, like whether it makes sense to move these out into their own repo and get them listed on PyPy so they can be installed separately and so they're not tied to these agent skills. If we do want to do that, is there any preference on the name for that repo? CircuitPython runner script is kind of what I've been calling it, but it's not particularly imaginative, although it does describe what it does. And then my last one around it is with the two different workflows. Right now I have them split up in two different scripts. If we do move it and release it, would it make sense to try to combine those so there's one script and you pass it arguments or something to decide which one to do? Or would it make more sense to keep them separate? That way the requirements are split as well. So like Pi serial is only required for the serial one, and like WebSocket client and request and stuff is only required for the web workflow one. So those are my intros, and then a couple of questions about it.
What if it was CircUp?
I did think about CircUp. The web workflow one, in fact, I think fits really, really nicely with WW Shell. I think it could just be added to that, and it doesn't feel out of place there at all. The serial one is a little bit more awkward since CircUp is not as much of a general file management thing as WW Shell is, but it totally could live there. It would add the serial requirement, which I think CircUp does not have, although CircUp does find devices somehow. I'm not sure if that uses serial or not. But yeah, I did think about that, and I'm not fully opposed to it. I didn't throw it out as an option just because it didn't fit with the installing libraries and stuff like the rest of what CircUp does. But I'm not opposed to sort of widening its purview either. If it makes the most sense to release it there, that would be convenient because it's already out there. It's already listed on PyPy and everything.
Right.
So that solves a bunch of those questions. And
Maybe.
then it's, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just kind of thinking about it because I think I like the idea of a dual tool where you like have subcommands that can do things, including like flashing CircuitPython. And the other thing I've been thinking about with this for the harness in particular is like being able to say like, oh, and capture logic during it too. Like get a logic analyzer trace as well. So I think like maybe we need like CP CLI. It like the MicroPython equivalent is MP remote, right? Like
Which is similar to essentially what we built with WW Shell, just specific to the web workflow, basically.
Right. I do think I feel like we want to unify it so that like we need one place that abstracts the way that you're talking it to it.
And conveniently, CircUp does do that now because it's got the layers for,
Yeah.
I think they're called backends, right? It's got different ones for serial and web, so it does fit nicely into that.
Right. And I think, yeah. Like, CircUp is maybe a misnomer when you make it do more stuff. But if you did like CircUp run or whatever. But then again, I do like that like CircUp also does like dependency discovery. So you could actually say CircUp run this code.py and it could be smart enough to like bring in dependencies with
Cool.
that.
Yeah.
Because one thing I've done with like my Zephyr test stuff is like I actually hand off like a file system image for like CircuitPy. And the reason that I wanted to do that is because then I can bundle other libraries and resources with it to say it to run it.
Okay.
So yeah,
So
that's kind of my feeling, I guess
it sounds
is.
like maybe, yeah, CircUp widening its purview, basically moving the stuff into there, and then we can evaluate later if it makes sense to try to change the name to match, or if it's kind of
Right.
okay that it refers to the library thing.
Right.
And then to your point earlier, I know the other one is out there. I think maybe Tektric is who made it, but I'm not sure. The Circ Firm one that does the firmwares may be ultimately
Right.
good to fold in as well while we're talking about other command line stuff
Yeah,
and it fits together.
I think so, 'cause with the harness stuff, I'm thinking about like, well, we want to use it for blanket CI style testing, right? Like just making sure that everything still works. But then when you're doing it in an agent loop, there's kind of like two ways you're going to be doing it. Like one is you have one code.py and your file system stays the same, but you're changing the firmware, like the CircuitPython firmware itself and testing over and over and over again. Or the opposite, which I think is what you've been doing more for the libraries, which is CircuitPython stays the same, but we're ch changing the library or the code.py and seeing how it changes.
Yep, exactly right.
And so I think it's fair that like CircUp would or whatever tool like has the ability to do both, like either flash CircuitPy drive or the firmware itself. So yeah,
Okay, cool.
I feel like we need a do-all tool, a do-all CLI tool.
Well, I can start folding what I have into CircUp and start with a PR there, and then we can discuss changing names or anything else we want to do on that PR. That'll give us a central spot for feedback, so.
Yeah, you do most of the reviews for that, right? Is there any other people? Because I know I tend to just let you do it. So are there
Yeah,
any other people who are like working on CircUp that we need to engage about this?
Let me see the name. I forget the name. Somebody did actually do some stuff not too long ago. I don't know if they've put it back down now. Who was this? It was Dunkman00, right? I don't know if they are on Discord or not, but I see them pop up on GitHub. A couple
Okay.
months back, I guess January. But yeah, they did Dunkman, they did recently do a couple of different PRs and they did some reviews as well. So
Okay.
maybe I'll tag them and see if they're still interested once
All
I
right.
have it submitted.
Okay, that sounds good.
And we can get Tektric as well, especially if we bring in a Circ Firm discussion. Or I'll make sure it was Tektric who made it, but made that.
All right. Yeah, I think I don't actually care what it's called, but I feel like most of what you need is already in Circup. So, and
Okay, cool.
I wouldn't do it as different scripts. I would make one script that can do it all.
Yeah, that'll be yeah, and that'll be easy with the way it's split up already in there. So that was good.
Great. And yeah, it's good to settle on this too, because like getting native sim working with that too would be cool.
Totally.
All right, thanks a lot. I'll wrap us up. Okay, that was In the Weeds. Thank you, Foamy Guy. Last up, let's wrap up. So I will take one final time code and switch to the wrap up. This has been the CircuitPython weekly meeting for June 8th, 2026. Thank you everybody who participated. If you want to support Adafruit and CircuitPython and those of us that work on CircuitPython for Adafruit, consider purchasing from the Adafruit shop at adafruit.com. The video of this meeting will be released on YouTube at youtube.com/adafruit, and the podcast will be available in major podcast services. It will also be featured in the Python for Microcontrollers newsletter next week. Visit adafruitdaily.com to subscribe to that. Let me just double check. Next week is a normal week. So the next meeting will be held next Monday at the usual 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. It's held on the Adafruit Discord server, which you can join by going to the URL adafru.it/discord. To be notified about the meeting and any changes to the time or day, you can ask to be added to the @CircuitPythonistas role on Discord. With that, we hope to see you all next week. Thank you, everyone.